There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Thank you. Welcome back to NFL Friday. Fantastic to be here. A little duo action today. Me and Ethan Wax. Ethan across from you. We'll get to him in a second. Langston Riding making a little production debut back there in the studio. She's behind the glass. Brendan Chorey's here helping out as well. Ethan, week four on the horizon for us. You got kicked off last night. Just on a personal level, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. The weekend's coming. It's Friday afternoon. It's hard not to be doing well.
For sure.
We've had a pretty crazy schedule travel-wise. Me and Brendan for Fordham football. They're home this week. Gives us a little extra time this weekend to hang out back here in the Bronx. So we're excited. Like I said, Seahawks got a W last night as well. A little too close for comfort, Ethan. Big time win for them. It shouldn't have been as close as it was. It felt like the Seahawks were the better team all night long, and somehow the Seahawks ended up having to make a game-winning kick to seal the game. They did so. Marvin Harrison, big story last night. Just kind of touching on that briefly, because I don't want to go fully into the Seahawks. I have self-awareness of where we are. I just want to talk about briefly the Marvin Harrison situation, because, Ethan, I find it perplexing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would agree. He struggled in the first half, as you may know, and I like the way that he sort of surged in the second half and put that first half behind him to be able to come out with six receptions for about 66 yards and a touchdown.
Just ridiculous half.
It's huge. Yeah. Yes. Big time first half. And credit to Arizona for making it a game in the fourth quarter, outscoring Seattle 14-6.
And in that first half, he was like incriminatingly bad. Like almost you could almost indict him on some sort of betting. All the betting trouble we've seen in the NBA recently, he was that bad to a point of it almost looked like it was on purpose.
Maybe it was scripted that way so he could.
Maybe. Ethan, I don't know if you know this. I am a WWE guy. We don't have to go neither here or there. We'll go back to what's on the field. Locally, it's an interesting perspective. So we just saw the start of week four last night. We're going to be going into it Sunday. The two local teams, the Giants and the Jets, we've talked. The Jets are your squad locally. But both teams find themselves sort of weird spots. I'm going to let you go on the Jets here first. I'll talk Giants after. But just talking on your team, Ethan, what's just an overall temperature check on the Jets and your squad heading into week four here and the matchup you guys have going up against the Dolphins on Monday night? A little doubleheader again this week on Monday night. Two games.
Yes. So, I mean, look, my team, the Jets, obviously 0-3. People can say, I know they're struggling, and I would agree with that. But if you look at their last few games, week one, they were right in until the end. Against the Steelers.
I thought never seen a fan base more happy after a loss than that week one game. Felt like the Jet fans really were almost vindicated in a way by a loss.
Look, I'm impressed with their offense, I should say. Their defense needs some work, and there's no denying that if you had mediocre defensive play, the record might have been much different than what it is now. But they have a big opportunity on Monday night against a team that their head coach is clearly on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And Mike McDaniel.
Definitely.
0-3 football team. Similar situation as the Jets, but two teams that obviously you might not want to see on prime time.
Yeah.
football, but.
And the Bengals are in the other game that night, and without Burrow, I don't. They might not be a primetime football team either.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be making a much of a run this year.
And Ethan, I just mentioned Burrow briefly. What's the vibe on Fields right now?
He just had a concussion, so he's practiced the last 2 days. So I expect him to return on Monday. I would say it's been an inconsistent performance from him. Hmm. You got the Steelers with a big time performance.
Big time, very yeah. big time. He seemed one. Like the real. He seemed like a guy you could who could lead your offense going forward after week one.
And then you look at like the Buffalo game. You're wondering
where'd he go?
What happened?
Like, yeah. And any strong opinions on Tyrod Taylor?
I think he's serviceable backup quarterback that can get the job done.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel comfortable with him playing the rest of the year out, but I think he could start a couple games and give you something, but
253 passing yards. I mean, that's not terrible. 33 for 47 this season, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. That's not, you know, I don't know. Tyrod is, from a certain perspective, there's not a lot of strong things to say, but that's almost a compliment in the National Football League, being able to stick around. He's been around for over a decade now.
Oh, yeah.
That's not, you can't just do that. You guys don't just hang around in the NFL. You have to have a certain level of quality. Seems like just in general, there's a lot going on in that jet injury report. Tony Adams is down. Jarvis Brownlee Jr. is down. Jermaine Johnson's down. Josh Reynolds, who hasn't really gotten a ton of run in that wide receiver core, he's down as well. An interesting perspective they find themselves in, because like the Dolphins, like you said, a very similar spot. But with the Bills ahead of them, it's almost like the division is out of sight, out of mind, almost after week two. And that's a hard place to be in as a competing football team.
Yeah, you're 3 games out already.
Ridiculous.
You already lost the divisional game at home. So right now, I'm thinking, let's make a push to the wild card. Let's just get on the board with 1 win.
Yeah.
Like, let's see if we can beat Miami, because I honestly could see Miami being the Jets and saying, look, I have the Jets all on the schedule. This is a very winnable game. Could get the confidence back up for Miami to go on a little bit of a run, but it all starts this week, because, I mean, I feel confident, especially after being competitive at the end against the Buccaneers last week. I just wish we could figure out a way to get off to the faster starts, something that the Jets have struggled with the last few weeks.
I feel like my whole life the Jets have struggled with getting off to fast starts. I feel like they're always kind of making up for the things they didn't do in the beginning of the game. I love Aaron Glenn going down the sideline after the blocked kick. There's just a certain energy, a vibe to that people are resonating with online. And even with the loss, it felt that Jet fans are excited about him and, you know, what he has to kind of offer to this Jet future.
That was complete comical.
Yeah, very, very, especially all the music they're putting over it on Twitter and things like that, too. Very funny. I almost feel, especially from that perspective, that things are more optimistic on that side of MetLife Stadium than the other. We can pivot to the other side.
Yeah.
Giants find themselves in a very similar spot. I would say almost exactly the same. 0-3, same record, but also lose last weekend to a good team on national football, similar to the Buffalo loss for the Jets, of just not really being able to compete. Certain stretches of the game where it could have maybe been winnable, but at the end, it's just 2 different levels.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Giants are a team that needs a change. And
where?
At the quarterback position.
Okay, they're getting it.
Yes, with Jackson Dart. Mm-hmm. I think it's long overdue, even though it's only been 3 weeks. But, I mean, the one thing that's perplexing to me is the fact that Brian Daboll didn't maybe pull. If you're going to start Wilson, fine in the week 3 game, but pull him, maybe play him for a half and notice that the offense is sort of struggling, other than Cam Scataboo, who had a big game
yesterday,
seemed like, or last week. He seemed to be the only one that really showed up.
A lot of touches. And Neighbors barely got the ball.
Yeah. I think that's on Kapka, the offensive coordinator. Yeah. You have to figure out a way, either jet sweeps or...
You got to get your best player the ball.
Yeah, you got to... And that's where sort of games are won and lost. I mean, the Stars need to show out in a big way, and I feel like maybe Mahomes, even though he wasn't the greatest, he did enough to win. Mm. And you look at Neighbors and Russell Wilson and some of your premium guys. I mean, their defense was pretty solid, I would say.
Pretty solid. They came back from a bad week against Dallas the week before and a good week against Washington, you know, relatively week one. The defense, regardless of how good they're going to play, if the offense is only going to score 9 points, it's going to be hard to win football games.
Yes, you need to have to play complimentary football all across the board. Hmm. And I feel like the giant offense has not been as giant in big situations. No, yeah.
My defining opinion of this whole situation is I don't get starting Dart now. I don't get not waiting the week. You're going to go play arguably the worst team in football. If you're not the worst team in football, it's New Orleans. You're going to go play them next week. I don't get that not being his debut. I don't get throwing him into the Lions den against Jim Harbaugh, against guys like Derwin James. Like that's a lot of pressure. I get it's a home game. I get you don't want to waste too much time, especially if Dable thinks his seat is maybe hotter than even we're anticipating. But at the end of the day, I think it was still premature.
I mean, I would say it's premature, but then again, you see the offensive output, other than the Dallas game, it's been anemic. Mm. And
good word.
Yeah, and you have to sort of make a change and understand that I'm sure if Daboll didn't pull the trigger now, then, I mean... sort of a lost season, and I think he understands that the giant fan base wants to see what their youngsters got, and if he didn't pull the trigger now, then I don't know when he really would. I mean,
yeah,
you want to have a little confidence in the Giants team. Maybe he's thinking maybe that'll spark the offense, and maybe they won't win, but at least make it a competitive output. And give Giant fans hope that things will change for the better.
Yeah, yeah. And I think another fan base hoping for things to be better in a similar vein are the Cowboys in that division. Obviously, it's more long form, long term. We got one of them back there behind the plexiglass. But I think in a similar vein, Cowboy fans are obsessed with result. In the same way Giant fans just want wins, they want players with real stats, putting up real numbers. It's the same thing in Dallas. Both fan bases are hungry for that sort of result. You brought up pre-pod, the game that stuck out to you this week on the slate, Cowboys-Packers. What was it that stuck out to you about that game? It's the game of the week this week. It's 8:20 Sunday Night Football.
Yes, everyone.
America's teams, Ethan.
Oh, yes.
America's team. Is there more American football teams than the Packers and the Cowboys, Brendan? No, there's not. He's nodding. Oh. Go on.
I mean, the key storyline, as everyone might know that follows football, is Micah Parsons' return to Dallas.
Or Michael, depending on who you ask in Dallas.
Yes. And I think I could see the Cowboys sneakily winning that game.
Me too.
Just because of the storyline, Dak Prescott's going to want something to prove. Mm. Especially after his struggle, his anemic performance last week against the Bears.
Yeah, you could say that again.
And this defense needs to step it up against the Packers team that looked pretty bad against Cleveland. Granted, Cleveland has a great defense, but scoring 10 points and people were saying Super Bowl contender and all of that, it seemed like Jordan Love needs to have a big game, and what better way of doing that other than getting a big time win against Micah Parsons' former club.
And I think it's hard to quantify Cowboy wins. Similarly to last year with the Niners, there was a lot of hoopla around their rivalry, quote unquote. But then the Niners just stomped them, and I'm really not trying to rage bait Brendan as he's over your right shoulder. But like, I just, from a certain perspective, is it a big game? Did you play the Cowboys? They just lost to the Bears in Chicago. I thought the Jaguars just do that. Like, I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not even, from a certain point, I'm rage baiting. From a certain point, I'm not even kidding. Like, I just don't know how much prestige a Cowboy win puts on your resume. I understand from the Micah storyline perspective, and I'm sure he'll be sprinting at Dak Prescott on Sunday night. But I don't know how much this does, aside from getting the Packers back on track from what you said, 100% right, a really poor performance last week. And I think looking ahead on that Packers schedule, I was looking at the rest of their more recent games. They have a lot of relatively easy matchups in comparison to what's in their division. They have a Cowboy game coming up, as we've been talking about, that Bengal game the week after, then Cardinals, Steelers, Panthers. That's a relatively easy stretch, Ethan, for the Packers, and then a pretty difficult stretch after that. Eagles, Giants are, you say what you want, and then Vikings, Lions, Bears, Broncos, Bears, Ravens, Vikings to end the season. That is a gauntlet. I don't know if another team in the NFL has a tougher six or seven games to end the season than those right there. So they got to get these wins, Ethan. These wins, very important at the beginning of the season, and it has to get them ready for games like Baltimore, games like Detroit, because Dallas maybe not on the quality of those teams, but a lot to be learned at this stage in the season.
I think after a Cleveland loss that the Packers have, it's really going to have to show the character of this group to see if they can put that ugly loss behind them and come back with a vengeance. I mean, you're on national television now for this game against the Cowboys. You want to show something to your coach, to the players around you, and everyone in the Green Bay organization that you can come back with a vengeance against a team like Cleveland who they lost to previously.
Yeah. And Cleveland's tough. That quarterback situation was better, Ethan. That's like a real contender.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Love needs to step it up. And I wouldn't say, look, there are lighter opponents on the schedule. I wouldn't say any game is easy per se, because everyone was picking Green Bay, I'm sure, in the survivor pools last week. And
yeah, that would have been a little bit of a risky one on the road, but yes. They are a better team. So,
yeah, I mean, anyone can beat anyone, as Cleveland showed. But, look, Dallas, it's a huge game for them, because if they want any hope to win the division, go to the wild card, it starts tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, because then they play the Jets next week in New York. I mean, Carolina, Washington. So they have some easier opponents after this game. Maybe they can find a way to go on a little bit of a run.
Yeah. No, yeah. 100%.
Before bye weeks and all of that.
Yeah, two bye weeks now, right? Two bye weeks or just still one? Are they going to, if they add another week to the season, they're going to go two bye week, right? Yeah. Okay. And just to wrap it up, that's kind of where our heads are going to be locally and nationally this week. And kind of just to wrap it up quickly, I want to talk about just people who are kind of catching our eye. We're watching a lot of football, as all guys are right now. Everybody's watching a lot of NFL. Somebody's catching everybody's eye, at least one player. For me, it's been Torrey Horton, rookie wide receiver for my Seattle Seahawks. Got him in the fifth round this year, a steal from all intents and purposes around the league. The experts that talk about it, one of the steals of the draft. Had a knee injury in his last season at Colorado State last year. His value in the draft dropped. Had a really impressive college career before that. He has now emerged, whether it's in the wide receiver core or more specifically in the special teams unit with the Seahawks, and is a threat. Jackson Smith and Jigba has proclaimed himself since last season as the wide receiver one. Torrey Horton seems to be the perfect complementary piece to it. whatever Jackson is doing. Kupp was brought in, Cooper Kupp, to help in that wide receiver core. But Torrey Horton, one of, if not the biggest happy surprises of the young Seahawks season so far, he wasn't that great last night, Ethan. I can be honest. He only had one reception for 10 yards. Didn't have a ton of success in special teams either. So quickly, I want to talk about Sam Darnold as well. Not even Sam Darnold on paper. Sam Darnold, watching him with my eyes, the eye test, Ethan, of Sam Darnold, he has been passing it with flying colors, especially last night. Last night, under much turbulation, especially late in that game. Turbulation? Is that a word? No? Turbulent? Turbulation? Okay, you're just going to, okay. At least IFB me. Brendan's going to chime in. Turbulence, okay. I only went to you because you looked with such disdain. I assumed it wasn't a real word. Anyway, there seems to be an interesting point where if Sam is getting in a lot of trouble with the D-line, if the D-line's really getting active in the backfield, that Sam can lose rhythm and Sam can not make those great throws that he's possible of. That was not the case last night. Sam was getting destroyed on some plays, and then the next play, throwing an absolute dart. Especially one I would love to highlight because it won't get highlighted, Ethan. He almost threw a ball. He threw a ball around 30 yards to Arroyo, the tight end for the Seahawks. Arroyo drops it, so it was incomplete. But I swear, one of the best balls I've ever seen live. He rolls out left, throws it on a dime to Arroyo. It lands right in the bucket in his sternum. He doesn't end up catching it because he's on a weird angle. But after seeing that throw, I knew it before, but after really seeing that throw, I thought, this guy's legit. This guy is a legit quarterback. I have a legit quarterback. So, Torrey Horton, Sam Darnold really impressed me so far. Just wanted to kind of get that off my chest. And, you know, a 3-1 team as well, Ethan. They're playing well. I know the slate hasn't been great. But Torrey Horton, Sam Darnold, shout out. They've been fantastic. Who's caught your eye? I have a slight inkling he might play in Indianapolis.
Yes, the one and only Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, former New York Giant, now with Indianapolis. And I wonder if a change of scenery is something that he needed in order to unlock his true potential. I mean, you look at Saquon Barkley, former Giant, comes to the Eagles and rushes for 2,000 all-purpose yards.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive.
Really impressive.
And I wonder if a change in scenery is something that he really needed, because I've only punted one time, which is remarkable. I believe he's only thrown for 3 touchdowns, but he has...
The punting stat is really my favorite.
Yes. One punt over 3 games.
Think about how many punts the Giants... think about how many Daniel Jones drives ended in punts in New York.
And how they wanted him out. And now he's proving his worth. And I think he can ink a pretty big contract if he continues to perform the way he has.
Absolutely. QBR 82.1 after week 1, 78.9 after week 2, 94.1 after week 3. That is impressive.
For sure, 100%.
316 yards in week 2. That's his season high so far. The completion percentages, Ethan, are very impressive as well.
Oh, yeah. He's been dominant, but I think the complement that he has around him with Jonathan Taylor and Michael
Who's
Pittman.
Been a revelation, by the way. Pittman, we've kind of gotten accustomed to him being a star.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor fully fell out of the spotlight, fully was on the downslide of his career, and now looks like he might be as good as he's ever been.
Last week, 17 carries for 102 yards and 3 touchdowns. Granted, it's against the Titans, but...
That's as good as he gets.
It's still an impressive performance.
Very.
He's actually on one of my fantasy teams.
He's on my fantasy team as well. We've had a really good... between him, I drafted Puka Nacua in the first round as well. That team dominates. Puka Nacua, maybe for all intents and purposes, wide receiver 1 in fantasy this year if Ja'Marr Chase continues to slide the way he does, and obviously with the misfortune of losing Burrow as well. That's it for us. We're going to wrap up here from NFL Friday. Ethan, appreciate you coming in. A little duo episode on this Friday. Excited for NFL football this weekend from Ethan Wax, Chris Carino on the mics. Thank you to Langston Writing making her production debut on the board across the plexiglass. Ethan, you got a final word?
Last thing, make sure to watch Red Zone this week. I'll be watching 7 hours, really 10 hours, with a Football Night in America game.
Oh, we got Football Night game. Do we have an early game this week as well?
Oh, yeah. We got the 9:30 Ireland game.
A lot of football on Sunday. You could wake up and go to sleep, watch football the entire time. Langston Riding, thank you again to her production debut. And, of course, Brendan Chorey coming to help as well. This has been a production of WFUV Sports. Thank you for watching, everybody.
Thank you, guys.